Good morning and welcome again to the Gospel Grace Radio broadcast. This morning we'd like to begin a series of messages entitled, What is a Primitive Baptist? Now, as I interact with different people and I mention to them that I'm the pastor at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, typically one of the first questions I'm going to get is, what is a primitive Baptist? And certainly to a large degree, that's a very valid question. Many people sincerely are asking, what is a primitive Baptist? What is different from a primitive Baptist, from a regular Baptist, a Southern Baptist, an Independent Baptist, a missionary Baptist? What's the difference between a primitive Baptist and a Presbyterian, or a Catholic, or an Episcopalian, or some non-denominational church? So we want to give you a brief overview of that this morning, introduce you to who we are as Primitive Baptist and what we believe as Primitive Baptist, in hopes that you can certainly stay with us as we continue this series on our radio program. And I hope this piques your interest to come worship with us, particularly at Macedonia Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. So, the very first thing that will probably catch someone's attention about the name of our church is the name Primitive. I pastor Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And that word primitive simply means original. Now, that doesn't mean that our facilities are archaic or primitive in any way. We have a very nice worship facility with speakers, and we have a website, and we have a podcast, and obviously we have a radio program. So we are not primitive. We don't worship like cavemen and some of the negative connotations that might come along with that name. But the fact of the matter is, primitive just simply means original. And we do our best in the Primitive Baptist Church to uphold the doctrine and the practice that we see clearly exhibited in the scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament. The people that have held to that strict doctrine and practice of the New Testament church dates back all the way to the original Baptist church. Now, John the Baptist came baptizing as the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was baptized, and those who profess a belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God are baptized after that pattern. Now, those that were originally baptized, they were baptized into the church. Now, understand, there's a lot of different dynamics of church in the scripture, but there was a specific church, an original church, that the believers in Jesus Christ in the first century were baptized into. And that was before many of the doctrinal splits that caused different denominations among people who professed a belief in Jesus Christ. Now we have many denominations among Christians. But at the beginning, there was one original Baptist church because those people baptized by immersion, just like John the Baptist did, and just like the original apostles did. So we do our best in the Primitive Baptist Church to maintain the doctrine and practice that we see in the Bible and in the New Testament scriptures, and there has been a group of people that have held to that strict scriptural standard of the doctrine and practice of the Word of God all throughout time, because Jesus promised that He was going to build His church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He promised that He would be glorified in the church and then He would be with the church, world without end. Amen. So there has been and there will be a true, devoted church of the Lord Jesus Christ here on this earth. And that doesn't mean that it's the church that calls themselves the Church of Christ that has that name on their church building. The original Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is identified by the doctrine and practice that we see in the Word of God. And here in 21st century America, we are known as the Primitive Baptist Church, but we believe that we are the original Baptist Church, and we could easily say the original Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a church that the Lord set up, and we attempt to maintain the same doctrine and practice that we see in the original Baptist church. And there's been a people that has maintained that doctrine and practice all throughout the scriptures. Remember, this original Baptist church were first called Christians at Antioch. As you study church history throughout the centuries, you will find that there has always been a remnant of people that have maintained the strict scriptural general standard of doctrine and practice in the Scriptures, and they've been known by different names all throughout the centuries. They've been known by Donatists and Waldenses and Albigenses and Anabaptists and many other names. Now, the people who believed in true original Baptist doctrine came to America and were simply known as Baptists. There was one group of Baptists, and those Baptists believe exactly as we believe today. They attempted to maintain the doctrine and the practice in the Scriptures, in the Word of God. But what we saw in the early 19th century, there was a split in the Baptist church in America, that there was a group of people that splintered off of the original historical Baptist church, and they adopted an unscriptural purpose of the gospel to try to go out and save souls to heaven. And with that unscriptural purpose of the gospel, they also added some unscriptural additions to the church, like mission boards and Sunday schools and other things that we don't find in the Word of God, to accomplish a false goal to populate heaven, to save dead alien sinners from hell to heaven. Whereas the original Baptist church had always held, as the Scriptures teach, that is done solely by the sovereignty of God in salvation, not by a man believing the gospel and performing a work to be saved, but that we are saved solely by grace and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there came a time in America, culminating in 1832, that those who adopted that erroneous purpose of the gospel and a desire to save souls to heaven, they split off from the original historical Baptist church and took the name of Missionary Baptist or New School Baptist, because they placed an emphasis on missions. Now, as Primitive Baptists, we're not necessarily against preaching the gospel in foreign lands to those that haven't heard the gospel. That's absolutely our commission. But there is no biblical precedent for a mission board to tell the preachers where to go. We follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, not a mission board. So even though we support missionaries in the sense of preachers following the leadership of the Holy Spirit to go and preach to children of God wherever they are, and certainly we have a mission of them hearing and believing the gospel and joining the church and being saved from the bondage of sin, not saved to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, they took the name of Missionary Baptist because they had an increased emphasis on missions, because they adopted a purpose of the gospel that is not found in the Word of God. They adopted a purpose of the gospel to save souls from hell to heaven, instead of to inform the born-again children of God of what God has already done for them. Now, as a negative connotation, those missionary or New School Baptists gave the name for those that remained in the old paths, that remained in the historical Baptist belief of salvation by sovereign grace and not salvation by man's belief of the gospel. They attributed the name in 1830s America to the group that held to the historical Baptist belief of the primitive or original Baptist. And that right there, just the name itself, and just the name primitive or original Baptist that we have been given, not that we took upon ourselves, but that we were given from our detractors, that split from the scriptural pattern that we see in the church. Those that split from the scriptural pattern said, these are the old school, original, primitive Baptist, and we want to make sure that we are separated from them because we have a new, fresh doctrine. Well, unfortunately, it was new and fresh because it's not found in the Word of God. So you have that split in America, that after 1832, those that held to the doctrine and practice of the original Baptist church came to be known in America in now the later 19th and in the full 20th and 21st century. Now we are known in America as the primitive Baptist because we held to the doctrine and practice of the original Baptist church. And we don't make this claim in a prideful or a haughty way, but we believe that the Lord set up His church, and that we can trace our church lineage in an unbroken chain all the way back to the original apostles and Jesus Christ. And remember, we are the primitive original Baptist church, all the way to the original baptisms into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that He set up in His ministry. So what I want you to understand is that people that have held to the strict standard of the Word of God for their doctrine and practice have believed in salvation by grace alone and that have observed scriptural baptism by immersion, and those that have worshiped in the simplistic pattern that we see in the New Testament scriptures, those that have upheld those standards of the Word of God, we see a group of people that have maintained that strict scriptural pattern all the way back to the original Baptist church. And they've been known by different names in different countries throughout all the centuries, as we've already mentioned. And here in 21st century America, we have been denoted as the primitive original Baptist. And just the name itself gives credence to the fact that we are maintaining the doctrine of the original Baptist church, because we've been given the name by the detractors who wanted to split from the historical Baptist pattern. These are the old school original primitive Baptists that wouldn't change with the times. Well, I'm proud to say the primitive Baptists haven't changed with the times, because the truth that Jesus Christ set up in his ministry does not evolve from generation to generation. Truth has been truth from before the foundation of the world and will be to the end of time. And God inspired his truth in the scriptures of the Word of God. And we simply try to uphold that truth in every way, in our churches, in our lives, and as we attempt to represent the Lord in the original Baptist church. Now, with that being said, I want to give a few bullet points to explain to you that I hope that you are listening with an open mind and wanting to learn and understand more about the beliefs of different people, and especially what the Word of God says about these different topics and what we believe. And we certainly hope that you'll stay with us throughout the duration of this series, because we will consider each of these and much more in a very in-depth manner over an extended series of messages. But I want to give you some specific points that we as primitive Baptists differ from the majority of what you will see in the Christian marketplace in America. So first of all, the original Baptist church is displayed for us in the scriptures, and it's evident as you read the Bible that the scriptures are the only rule of faith and practice. So for that reason, we maintain strict adherence to the scriptures and to the Word of God, and we also maintain an adherence to the King James Bible in our churches, because we believe the King James Version and its basis in the Textus Receptus and the Byzantine text is the most accurate representation of the Word of God in the English language. So the reason why that we believe that salvation is by grace and that man is totally depraved and that regeneration is by the immediate direct work of the Holy Spirit and that we worship in a very simplistic manner, it's not just simply because this is the way that our fathers or our ancestors have felt. We submit to the best of our ability to the Word of God as our only rule of faith and practice in the church and in our individual lives. So the reason that we believe what we believe, the reason why we worship in the way that we do, is because that is what we believe the rightly dividing of the scriptures presents as the truth of God's Word. So the very first point I want to mention to you is that we believe that salvation is solely by the sovereign grace of God. The general Christian marketplace is going to place some condition upon man to be saved. Jesus did all of the work, but. Well, if Jesus did all the work, there's no but. And we simply believe Jesus did all of the work. That Jesus came into the world to save his people from their sins. He declared on the cross, "It is finished." And he was resurrected from the dead as validation of our justification before God. And therefore, salvation has been fully and totally accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we don't add to or take away from that. There is no action of man, not our praying of a prayer, not our belief in Jesus Christ, not someone submitting to baptism or a 51% lifetime of good works. None of those things can have any bearing on your eternal salvation, because Jesus Christ finished the work of salvation totally on the cross. He affirmed that as he was giving up the ghost. It is finished. So we do not believe that any action of man is required for a man to go to heaven. The only work that is required for man to be saved to heaven is the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his death and burial and resurrection, and that we have forgiveness only in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the reason why salvation has to be totally of God's grace is because man is totally dead in sin. Adam sinned in the garden, and he is totally depraved. He didn't get injured. He didn't get sick. He didn't just get hurt. Adam became dead, and all of his posterity is spiritually dead. And if any action or work of man is required for man to be saved to heaven, then the scriptures affirm, because of the total depravity of man, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. And if salvation is dependent upon even one action of man, then no one will be saved. Okay? So we believe in the total depravity of man. And we believe that God chose a people out of all that ruined, sinful, unworthy lot. He chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. He predestinated them to be in heaven with him at the end of time. Jesus Christ came into this world to die for their sins and to pay all of the penalty that was necessary for them to live in heaven. At some point in their life, every single child of God is going to be born again by the direct, immediate work of the Holy Spirit on the heart of a dead alien sinner with no intermediary. Now, pretty much everyone in Christianity says there is some condition of man that's placed upon the new birth. You have to perform this action, and then God will save you and God will born you again. Well, Jesus said the wind blows where it listeth, and you can see the effects of it, but you can't cause the wind to blow in one location at a set time. The wind is totally under the direction of the sovereignty of God, and he says in John chapter 3 and verse 8, that so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. So there is no intermediary, there is no conduit of the gospel or the preacher that borns man again that is any way involved in man being born again. Men are changed from dead in trespasses and in sin to life in Christ by the direct and immediate work of the Holy Spirit upon their heart. Now, after they've been born again, we preach the gospel not to save people to heaven, but for God's born again children that have the capacity to believe. We preach the gospel to inform them of what Jesus Christ has already accomplished on their behalf, that they can have peace and assurance of their salvation here in their life as they attempt to serve the Lord. So the gospel and your belief of the gospel is not a cause of salvation. The scriptures teach that the gospel and your belief of the gospel is an evidence of your salvation. You believe not to be saved. You believe because you are already saved. Now, the New Testament scriptures also give us a very detailed pattern and structure for how Jesus Christ set up the practice of the church. We worship in the Primitive Baptist Church in a very simplistic way. We sing, we pray, we preach. We sing without the accompaniment of musical instruments because all of the admonitions that we see in the New Testament don't tell us to use musical instruments. All of the admonitions in the New Testament about singing have to do with us singing with our voices and making a joyful noise in our hearts to the Lord and singing with melody in our hearts and using the instrument that the Lord has given us, which is our tongues, not an external man-made instrument like a guitar or a drum or something of that regard. We simply follow the pattern of worship that we see in the New Testament scriptures, which is to sing praises to the Lord, to pray unto the Lord, because Jesus said his house would be a house of prayer, and for God-called and qualified men to preach and teach the Word of God to the church. We also follow the pattern of teaching the Word of God from the New Testament scriptures that does not segregate the church by metrics of gender or age groups or spiritual maturity. We worship in a family integrated setting. All of your family is welcome to come and worship together in a Primitive Baptist church. We don't separate the old folks from the young parents, from the preteens, from the young children. Everyone worships together in a collective way. And the reason why we do that is because that's the pattern of worship that we see in the New Testament scriptures. We don't utilize Sunday schools that separates in an unbiblical way by age or gender or that spiritual maturity or learning. But we do follow the biblical pattern of studying the Word of God in a church setting by a God-called and qualified pastor. So all of these additions that have been added to the church over time, especially in our worship service, that we don't find in the Word of God, if we do not see that pattern and that standard set up in the Word of God, then we believe that that is not proper in the worship of God. So we want to simply maintain the pattern, and especially in worship, we simply want to maintain the pattern and the standard that Jesus has set up by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament Scripture. And we want to worship exactly the way the Lord set it up in the Word of God. So in summary, as Primitive Baptists, the word primitive simply means original, and we do our best to exalt and hold up the Word of God as our only rule of faith and practice. And because of that strict adherence to the Word of God, we believe that salvation is by the sovereign grace of God alone, that God chose people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that Jesus Christ has finished the work of salvation and completed all the necessary requirements for His elect people to be saved into heaven and to live with God for all of eternity, that at some point in their life, the children of God are born again by the sovereign, immediate, direct work of the Holy Spirit in their heart, and that we preach the gospel to inform God's children of what the Lord has already done for them, knowing that the gospel is not the cause of salvation, but an evidence that one is already born again. And then we also maintain simplistic worship and practice and church governance that we see in the New Testament Scriptures, again, trying to maintain to the best of our ability exactly what we see in the Word of God, to uphold the truth that the original Baptist church was established upon, and that we are still trying to maintain today exactly as the original Baptist church was set up. We hope to be worshiping and believing in the exact same way here in the Primitive Baptist Church in America today, and following the same pattern of Christ and the apostles at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church that they did in the original Baptist Church that we see depicted for us in the New Testament Scriptures. And I will tell you that our doctrine and our worship is so simple. We simply follow what the Word of God says, and it's not complicated by all these additions of men. And we would welcome you to come worship with us. Bring your entire family. We worship in a family integrated way. And we have fellowship one with another. We have love flowing from breast to breast. And there is a unique, special kinship in the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ that you just simply cannot find anywhere else in this world. And if any of these points have been intriguing to you, we hope that you will contact us through our website, gospel-of-grace.com. We hope that you will contact us, that you will email us. But we sincerely hope that you will be stirred up to visit a Primitive Baptist church. I will tell you, come and see. Come and see the simplicity of worship. Come and see the beauty of the truth of the gospel, the beauty of salvation by God's sovereign grace alone. And we believe that you will be blessed if you come and see what the Primitive Baptist church is all about. And I want this to be a warm and open invitation to Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi, to Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and to any Primitive Baptist church all across the U.S. that you can find in our church directory on our website, gospel-of-grace.com. We hope some of these things have intrigued you. We hope that you will stay with us throughout the duration of this extended series that we will have entitled, What is a Primitive Baptist? But again, if you are stirred up and have a desire to know about, in particular, any of these things that we've addressed, we hope you stay with us on the program in the weeks to come, but please contact us and we will be elated to have a chance to study and teach the Word of God to you. We're thankful that you had a chance to be with us here this morning. May God bless you on this Lord's Day and throughout the rest of your week.